Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
Who are you? Do you guys all say your name after we say our names?
I hope you do. I would do that, I think.
You totally would.
I'm very interactive with
you. You're very interactive. You are always talking to yourself and to the radio.
Or the TV. If something's happening, I'm clapping along.
You totally
and then
do.
My husband's like, you know, no one can see you doing that. It's a news feed.
But you enjoy it for yourself.
I do. Yeah. I feel like they're
so
talking
thank you
to me.
For all of you who
are
say
doing
your
that. Because we are talking to you, and if we could, we would say your name too.
We would.
Right? Or you would say your name.
I don't know. We like you.
We love you guys.
Okay, so this week is I think it's a really interesting topic. Mm. So let me give you the backstory. So our friend Tina sent me this screenshot of this person's Instagram account where someone was like posing the question what is the difference between like self-acceptance and self-improvement? Not what is the difference, but like how do we know when we just need to accept things about ourselves and say, you know, this is me and I'm broken and I'm beautiful, and owning our flaws and our imperfections. And then when is there room or opportunity for self-improvement, for growth, self-awareness, all of that? And so how do we know? How do we find that balance? How do we accept, but also like continue to evolve and grow as a decent human being?
Because mm-hmm. we're compelled, I think, as humans to grow.
I would think so.
Oh yeah, I think you know most of us are constantly looking for growth, but in various ways. Sometimes we don't do it maybe in a healthy way, but we're always kind of expanding. I
mm-hmm.
think
mm-hmm. even the people who live in their mom's basement and play video games all day long,
maybe because they're like getting better at their video games,
right?
You know, that's kind of like, well, I'm getting better and better at my video game.
So for them, that's expansion.
That's expansion, and they're in their mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But self-acceptance, I think, is a great self-acceptance and self-improvement, like two great topics, you know, how they affect each other.
Well, and so I guess what the lady, how she responded was, so she said, my response, for me, who I am is not just my human self. I believe I am a spiritual being having a human experience. The core of me is divine, perfect, and enough by nature. The human part of me has learned beliefs that take me away from that knowing. I look at improvement not as becoming better, but as becoming more aligned with my authentic nature. I've simply adopted beliefs that disconnect me and close me off to my heart. There's nothing inherent to fix. It's the work of remembering who I really am.
Oh,
and if anyone wants to follow her, it's Beacon Empowerment on Instagram. She seems like, I think she's actually in the Twin Cities, but, I liked her response because I think that there's something that I inherently, agree with about that with her, where it's like, we are at our core, nothing needs to be fixed. But I think life happens and we have these layers and we have patterns of behavior and patterns of thought. And they're not all good. And they don't all need to just be something that we accept about ourselves, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, and a lot of the work that I think our workshops bring up too, is like, okay, well, how much of this are you happy with this part of your life? Yeah. Are you... do you want to continue this pattern of thought? Do you want to maintain this type of a relationship with your father? Do you want, you know, to continue down this road? Because we have a choice, ultimately. We have a choice.
Mm-hmm. We do.
And so I think part of that is the choice to either accept or the choice to, I don't want to say improve. I don't love that word, but like to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think you need self-acceptance in order to do self-improvement,
mm-hmm.
because there has to be a level of realizing what you're doing. So
yes.
There has to be acceptance at
yes.
that point. Like it can't be, because I can do a bunch of stuff and I'll be like, you know, people will be like, you're bossy. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
Oh,
because
huh.
I don't see myself
yes.
that way.
Yes.
And so, but people might be, they might be right. Like if I get, you know, 20 people telling me that over a period of 10 days, like everyone's like, wow, you're really pushy.
Right.
Or you're kind of bossy about this.
Right.
And I'm still saying, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
I'm kind of not accepting, like, so I'm being perceived this way.
Right.
So I think there has to be a level of sort of awareness, yes, self-awareness, self-acceptance. Acceptance has that kind of weird feeling of like, oopsie, that's my phone dingy, because I'm accepting that. But self-acceptance has that feeling of sort of negativity, or like you're just sort of going to accept, I shouldn't say, but you know, in the term itself, it's almost like we're confusing the definition of like
settling.
I just accept it. I think it's more of a active type of acceptance. Like, okay, so maybe I am being perceived as bossy. Perhaps I am bossy, or I am pushy. Now, what do I want to do with that piece?
Well, and maybe the self-love comes in by being like, I love myself enough to then work on this stuff. Because
exactly.
I'm worth it.
Exactly.
Because my relationships are worth it.
Right. And we have to be careful with self-acceptance that it doesn't become self-recrimination, which is the judgment.
I totally agree. Or also, I think it can be a cop-out to be like, well, that's just the way I am.
Yes, right.
I'm sorry
that
you don't like that about me.
I'm sorry, well, I'm negative.
Yeah, it can be like, I think it's a settling too, but it's also like, it almost feels, it can be aggressive to be like, well, you don't like that about me. This is the way that I am. Yeah, it's defensive.
Yes, and I own that part of me, and that's how I am.
Yeah, and if you don't like it, well, bugger off.
Yeah, bugger off. That's right.
That's right. Bugger off. So it's interesting to me, this, like, I've been thinking a lot about it since she said that to me, because it is a great question.
And of course, it's up to the person now to decide, you know, maybe it is that balancing act of like, so maybe you like being bossy. You like being pushy. So you're like, your person.
Yeah.
She says, well, I don't care. That's just how I am.
Yeah.
That's okay too, because that's her journey in life. Now, if she comes to you and she says, but I'm having trouble maintaining friendships.
Yes.
And you're like, well, now, and she says to you, a lot of people perceive me as bossy.
Yes.
But I like that part of myself.
Yeah. And
so now we've got a conflict.
Right.
Because she's saying she's having difficulty in a relationship, but she's being perceived as bossy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she's owning her bossiness and staying with it.
Right.
So then we move into the realm of, you know, is it serving you?
Yes.
Is it serving you? And some people might say, that's fine. I don't want relationships. Mm-hmm. I just like being bossy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, you know, setting my goal and going for it and kind of crushing people on the way.
Right.
And there are people like that. That's fine. But if it's someone who has conflict, it's like, but I'm having trouble in relationships. I want better and fuller relationships. I want people to hang around.
Mm-hmm.
Then we say, well, there's room for self-improvement.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at that.
Right. So it's really what you were talking about today. And you can talk about that in one.
ULA one,
which was a matter of perspective,
mm-hmm.
which I think is, again, fascinating that we talked about before. So we have one individual that's like, I don't care if I'm bossy and mm-hmm. I don't care if I have relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So that person's happy.
Mm-hmm.
They're balanced.
Are they though?
Well, that's
they think they are.
So that's fine. We own that for them.
Sure.
But then the next person, the other woman who's saying, I am bossy, I own that, but I don't have relationship. So then you're like, well, it's a matter of perspective. How can we change that for her?
Yeah.
How can we help her change that?
Yes. Yeah. I think mm-hmm. that's a great way to look at it. By the way, side note, and I think I've said this before, but I think that when they say, don't ever tell a girl she's being bossy, I think that's BS, because there are some girls who are so bossy and it's not nice.
I'm bossy.
You're bossy.
I am bossy, and it gets me in trouble sometimes.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to call you bossy,
not just assertive, you know, because
no.
They're always like, you would never call a male bossy. Like, don't call a female bossy, or don't tell these little girls when they're being bossy. But I don't like it when my daughters are acting bossy. There's a difference between being assertive and being bossy, and bossy is bitchy.
Bossy. And I don't like when my son is bossy either.
Sure.
For my male sons and my middle schooler now. I'm like, no.
But isn't that they're that big Sheryl Sandberg thing, like, don't call girls bossy.
Right. And it's also,
and
there's
like, yeah,
that.
Also, that's not really nice behavior.
That's right. Good point. And there's a whole discussion of the male-female thing,
yes.
Right? That men are supposed to be bossy and women aren't. And you know, that sort of there gender definitely is that discussion, which is another very deep discussion about that.
Right. Well, and then I think it's like, okay, well, why do you feel the need to be bossy?
Well, and I'm controlling my environment.
Right. You're trying to. And then you get mad when it's not controlled.
Very hard to
control. As we all do. We're only talking about you because you mentioned it had just happened this weekend.
It happened this weekend, yeah. And I had self-acceptance. I had self-improvement. And then I dare say a third thing, self-actualization.
Okay, let's hear it. So what happened?
So this weekend, we go up to the lake and I have all these expectations. I think, I don't know about you guys, but when I'm with my husband, I have a lot of expectation. Mm. Like it's going to be this and then we're going to do that.
It's because you read romance novels all the time.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. Because I don't have with my friends really. I'm kind of like, I just go with the flow more. I mean, a little bit more. But with him, I'm just like, and then we're going to do this.
You do.
And then we're going to do that. And anyway, we start out where we end up going late to the lake because he's trying to do a bunch of work, which puts me in a very, very bad mood. We get to the lake and I'm still in a bad mood. My perspective is negative.
Sure.
And I'm complaining. And guess what? The hot water heater doesn't work.
Oh, no.
And what was my expectation at the lake?
You were going to take a bath.
In the large bathtub.
With daddy.
With daddy, maybe, or maybe start there and warm up and move somewhere else. So anyway, I'm obsessed with the hot water heater. It's like 9 p.m. and I'm crawling around under the house.
Oh, no.
I shock myself, by the way. Like it resonates up my arm through my entire body. That's a whole nother discussion, by the way. What is electricity?
Oh, yeah.
Because I can't even see it. And I touched it and it went like, whoa. I was like, whoa. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what if I pass away?
Exists.
What if I pass away in the crawl space? That's my destiny.
We'd miss you.
Anyway, I was a super grumpy and I wasn't a great partner. The night was terrible. It was kind of like, well, night, and he fell asleep like instantly. And I'm like, I hate this place. So I went outside and read my romance novel alone, snuggled to my dog. Just because I wanted to wallow in my unhappiness. And then yesterday we come back from the lake and he's trying to cheer me up and I'm just kind of like, whatever, quiet.
Yeah.
And I'm on my Facebook and this video comes up, somebody posts, and it's like these people getting on the plane and there's a woman on her phone and she's like talking to her mom and she's like, mom, don't bother me right now. I'm on the plane. And then there's another woman like texting. They're all in the same row. Another woman texting and her husband's texting something like, well, what do I do with Johnny now? And she's like, whatever. He's your kid too. She's saying that on her text.
Yeah.
And then there's a man working and he's super grumpy because he's like, he's not happy with his job.
Okay.
And they're all sitting in the same row. And I'm like, wow, everyone's so grumpy. Whatever. Not like me. And all of a sudden the plane is going to crash.
Oh.
And they're like, so. This thing stops. And it's like, so, if today was your last day.
Yeah.
And you knew that was your last moment.
Yeah.
Is that how you want to leave everybody?
Yeah.
They're like, because you could complain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, a lot of things to complain about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, so maybe you should live every day. Like it might be your last day.
Which in theory is a great theory. In practice, it can be hard to do. But I think just that awareness.
Oh, my goodness.
It has so much to do with just the awareness.
Right. So then I had to go back to self-acceptance.
Yes.
Because then I'm like, because they were like, are you complaining a lot?
Uh-huh.
Are you negative?
Right.
And I was like, yes.
Yes.
So I had to self-accept. I had to accept that this is what I've been doing this weekend. Negative, grumpy, complaining.
Yep.
Self-improvement. So first I have to be aware. I have to accept that that's where I'm at.
I totally agree.
Self-improvement. Now I'm like, okay, what do I want to do different with this information? Mm-hmm. And how do I want to expand myself with this information?
Mm-hmm.
So my husband's working in the garage and he's leaving for work for the next 5 days.
Oh, he's gone?
Gone.
Oh, can we hang out tonight?
Yeah. Both our husbands are gone. And so you know what I do is I take a deep breath and I go in there and I hug him.
Oh, good for you.
Because he, you know, as we've talked about in this podcast before, when you're exerting this negativity, it overflows.
Totally.
Onto the other people.
It does.
And he's getting ready for his work and he's just like, I'm behind on this and I'm behind on that. It's unusual, but he's like totally
he's chill.
Belittling himself.
Oh, yeah. That does not sound like a Mike thing.
Belittling himself. I did not do this right. He's trying to pack. He has to leave in like 20 minutes. I go up, I hug him and I say, you are doing a great job.
Oh.
And I said, you know what? All this stuff doesn't matter.
Yeah.
With your work right now.
Yeah.
Because this work could go and you'd be okay.
And you'd still be worthy.
You'd still be worthy. And you'd be purpose. Okay. You would be you'd alive. Be okay.
Yeah.
And I just hugged him, and then he just hugged me tighter, and he said, you're my Khaleesi.
Oh, he said that. He's so romantic.
And so now I went through the three steps.
Yes.
Self-acceptance,
mm-hmm.
self-improvement,
mm-hmm.
and I dare say self-actualization, which yes. is sort of living my meaning out. Like, what do I really want to be in this life?
Yes.
In this moment, in this time. And when we started to do this podcast for today, it just hit me like, oh my gosh, I just did them all.
I love that. I think that that's such a good way to look at it. I think we're also very lucky that we have husbands who let us play this out and let yes. us make these mistakes.
Be grumpy, be rude.
Yeah. And then when we go to that place of self-actualization, self-realization, they accept it. When we decide to change our behavior or whatever, then they're so willing to receive us in how we want to be mm-hmm. acting. Versus, and they don't hold us to the way that we were acting.
Mm-hmm.
You were such a bitch up there. They kind of just like open up and let us, you know, and that's what I would hope we all have.
That fluidity.
Yes.
And maybe that's another thing with self-acceptance and self-improvement. There has to be a fluidity,
yes,
kind of a movement between the two.
Right. Well, and I would hope that for ourselves and for the people that we're in intimate relationships with. We have to hold that space for ourselves and for each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that when your partner or when your friend comes to you and says, wow, like I totally was, you know, I was acting this way and, you know, I'm sorry, or I'm trying, I'm working on this, whatever, that then we can be open to that their improvement and their self-actualization of how they want to act.
Yes.
And not hold them to the way that they were acting.
Right. Not shame them.
Not shame them.
But, like, but you know, but you might be acting super, nice
yeah,
now.
Yeah. But I still don't forgive you for
the last 48 hours.
Yeah. And so we should all be with people that allow us to go through that process. And we should allow those that we're in relationship to go through that process too. Because mm-hmm. this is hard stuff.
Oh.
Especially when you start thinking about, you know, just going back to that Instagram post where she's like, it's so much of it is just a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So much of our, the stuff that keeps us from self-love, love of love for others. It's this pattern that may not always feel good, but we kind of accept it. And I don't mean self-acceptance in that way. I mean, we just kind of accept things to be this way. Well, this is just the way I am. This is just the way he is. This is just the way she is. But it's like, but that's not who they are. That's just a pattern of behavior that is reoccurring mm-hmm. and is creating this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so realizing that that is not who they are, or that is not who I am. It's just part of this, part of my behavior.
Right. Part of what I've learned. Patterns are familiar. And mm-hmm. even if they can be destructive because they're familiar,
yeah.
we keep doing them.
We keep doing them.
Because to do the other, it's not, it's like, it's kind of like I always order a Sunday on Sunday. You know what I mean? And then suddenly someone's like, well, how about
there's no Sundays today.
There's no Sundays day. And I'm like, oh no. Even though I know the Sunday on Sunday isn't the best thing for me, but to me, that's what I do yes. every Sunday.
Right.
Or Sunday on Sunday.
Yeah.
It becomes familiar. It gets ground in there. And mm-hmm. that's what we do. It's like how I focus maybe on negativity more than positivity.
Right.
It's a familiar. It's what I do. I know what will happen. I know the outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about the outcomes if I change.
Right.
And so that becomes scary.
Scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even when I went in to hug him,
yeah.
I was like, this is going to be weird.
It's going to be weird.
Because I've been grumpy for a very long time here.
Yeah. Yes.
And luckily, like you said, he was so willing to accept that.
Yes.
But even for me, it was like, you know, it's risky.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he could reject that.
He could reject that. And I'd be like, oh, but.
Yeah. And you almost kind of had to admit that your behavior maybe wasn't great.
I had to. That was the self-acceptance mm-hmm. piece. I had to admit that wasn't great behavior. It
yeah.
wasn't helpful behavior.
Yes.
It didn't make the weekend go easier. It didn't
right.
fix the water heater,
right.
by the way.
Right.
It did not fix it.
Yes.
That
exactly.
wasn't helpful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It wasn't helpful. And I think another question that that you mentioned earlier and that Julie actually mentioned when we were talking about something similar is this serving my greater purpose? is this in service? Is this behavior in service to what I'm trying to do or who I'm trying to be? So maybe, yeah, going back to, let's just go back to the bossy one.
Mm-hmm.
Is this behavior actually like, maybe you feel like you need this attitude or you need this persona to get done a very important mission. Maybe you're working in an environment where you feel like you have to have this, this role
mm-hmm.
in order to fulfill the mission that you are deeply, deeply convicted to.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Then, you know, maybe it does serve. Maybe it does serve the higher good. Maybe there needs to be a huge cultural shift and somebody needs to just take charge and be like, I'm going to be the boss right now. And we're going to fix this. We're going to change this.
Mm-hmm.
So in some cases, it goes back to that awareness and it goes, I think, to asking the question, is this behavior, is this pattern of thought, is this relationship, is this way of eating, is this job helping me serve my greater purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Right.
And then you can decide, okay, well, if it isn't, then okay, I need to accept this about myself, but then I need to really sit down
what
and ask myself the hard
this?
Questions of what am I going
to
do about this
right.
now?
Mm-hmm. How can I change this?
How can I change this?
Right. What are the steps in doing that?
Or if I can't change this, how can I learn to accept this about myself? And how can I learn to come back to that self-love or find my way to that self-love? Because
mm-hmm.
I'm even thinking about, let's say, in terms of like body image, going back to last week's podcast,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
like, okay, let's say that you're 20 pounds overweight.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we find that self-love and stay not in this place of self-hate, but self-love? But then ask yourself, like, am I healthy? Do I feel good? Is, you know, am I actually healthier when I'm at this weight than I am when I'm constantly trying to diet or think about weight loss or like constantly focusing on exercise? Like, maybe you're actually healthier weighing 20 pounds more than you did when you were 20.
Yes.
Maybe that is actually helping you stay connected to the things that are important to you. Maybe when you're 20 pounds thinner, you are obsessed with what you're eating. You're constantly working out. You're not seeing your kids after, you know, work because you go to the gym for 3 hours. I don't know.
Right.
So it's so interesting how we can see it in all these different ways. Or alternatively, maybe it's not healthy, you know, but how do we maintain that self-love through the awareness and then the improvement?
Yes,
you know?
That's right.
Because it can be, I feel like
that's... And that's important. That's the self-recrimination or self-judgment. That's where we want to go like, well, there you go. You're 20 pounds overweight. You're so
ugly.
Bad.
You're fat.
You're not in control of your life and what you eat.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
All the things we tell ourselves versus approaching it with self-love for self-acceptance.
Yeah.
And then making a decision about whether you're happy in that place or whether you'd like to make a change with that information.
It's interesting because I feel like I struggle like that. Like thinking about like behaviors, it's almost easier for me to be like, okay, Kaylee, that's bad behavior. That's bad behavior. You're not acting like, you know, you're not interacting with your mother the way that you should be. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you come on, Kaylee. Like,
or is it really helping the situation?
That's another great
question.
Is it helping the situation?
The relationship, the way I'm behaving in it.
If I ultimately want to, you know, this great relationship, is my behavior or is my reaction serving the greater good? And so for me, it's almost easier to understand it in terms of like behavior.
Yes.
But it's harder when it comes to like, my like body image. I think it's really hard to keep hold of that self-love when the conditions of the physical self are not at a desired place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, why do you think that?
Don't you think everybody feels that way?
If they get overweight, you mean?
Yeah, or if you just aren't feeling good about yourself, it's really hard to be like,
If you're not feeling physically good about yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
From a mental place, from a mental thing, I can understand it. But sometimes it's like, you know, just going back to that podcast from last week, I feel like there's this part of me that unfortunately it's harder to access self-love when I don't feel good in my body.
Right. Yeah. That's funny. I just, this weekend, because there was no hot water. Back to that topic. Okay, one more time. I hadn't bathed the day before, anticipating my bath.
Oh, sure. So you felt...
So I get up there and there's no friggin' hot water. And, well, anyway, my hair just was like, everything just got super greasy.
Yeah.
And it was just bothering me. It was like hanging like a mop on my head. And all I could think about was like how heinous my hair felt on my head. And that was contributing to the negativity I felt about the hot water heater.
Yes. Because you're like, yes, if only the hot water heater, then I could feel good about myself.
Yes. Because this hair is just somehow, the physicalness of feeling the hair that was just driving me insane.
Yeah.
I mean, not insane.
No, but it was bothersome.
Very bothersome.
So do you see what I mean? So how do you stay connected to that, like, self-love? I am beautiful. I am enough. I am divine. I am perfect the way I am. Like, how do we stay connected to that when the conditions aren't ideal?
Well, and I think that's part of that whole, you know, self-acceptance talk of like, okay, so let's talk about like what you just went through it. Mm-hmm. I'm 20 pounds overweight, let's say. And you said the whole thing, like, you know, am I healthy? How do I, you know, you have to go to the bigger picture stuff, I think. And I think it's a lot of work because the brain immediately wants to go to the shortcut, mm-hmm. which is like, bad girl, mm-hmm. you know, you're not taking care of yourself, or, you know, you don't like your body sucks, whatever it is.
Yeah. Or you can't control yourself with, you know,
your eating your, you know,
chicken fingers.
Chicken fingers. I'm like, I love the deep fried shrimp myself. My husband's like, you don't even like shrimp. I'm like, yeah, but it's deep fried and breaded.
It's so good.
And it has like a sweet and sour sauce.
I don't know. It doesn't have to be weight. It's like whatever your physical trigger is. You know, the physical triggers, I think, are really hard. It's really hard for me to feel like, I don't know, I think this is a challenging one. And it is for a lot of us. Don't go away. You've got a quick word from, guess who? Us. Oh, wow. Do you hear that gentle breeze? Oh, it sounds like an ocean. Oh my gosh, is that Tulum?
I think it is Tulum.
I can't wait.
Oh my gosh, when is that, Kaylee?
It's in October.
What are we doing?
Are you coming?
I'm coming.
I'm coming.
How about you? Are you coming?
You guys should come.
I think I saw an email from you. You better sign up right away.
You're worth it. Just remember that. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of work to reset. It's such a good reset to go and take time for yourself and to do that self-exploration, doing that personal work so that you can re-enter your life with a knowing, an awareness, and a love that can radiate from you to those around you. I promise you it will
change your life. You're worth it.
You're worth it. Body image is a big freaking deal.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's why it's a huge industry, and you know.
And it's so learned in our culture.
It's totally learned
so
in our
different.
Culture.
Like maybe in another culture, greasy hair would be in.
Yeah.
Like you'd want really greasy hair all the time. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And so I would have to learn how to be in that culture. It's weird how these are learned traits.
They are.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's like,
yeah.
In Hawaii in the old days, of course, if people were overweight, it meant they had a lot of resources.
That's normal in a lot of
cultures. So that was like, there was a queen, I can't remember her name right now. Oh, Queen Ruth. And she was massive, like a huge woman. She was tall too, like 6'1" or something, mm-hmm. but she was very, very, large, mm-hmm. overweight. She was overweight. And, but in my culture, she's viewed as overweight, this current culture. But in the Hawaiian culture back then, she was a powerful, powerful woman. And mm-hmm. her weight spoke that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in other words, I have access to all resources.
Yes.
Not you.
Right.
So you look at me mm-hmm. and you will know that I am very, very powerful.
Absolutely.
Which is a very different perspective than we have in this culture. And I'm sure she would probably feel different if she had lost weight.
Yes.
Hers would be the opposite.
Uh-oh.
Oh no, I'm losing my power.
Yeah. Right.
All that stuff associated with it.
Yeah. So I guess, yes. So taking into consideration all the outside factors that are determining what is enough, what is beautiful.
And that's what helps me though, is starting to understand the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I start to go like, oh, wait. So this is where I'm getting it from.
Yes.
And I get to decide. I can decide I want to dive into that.
Yes.
Like I can say, okay, yeah. I want to dive into beauty or whatever it is, mm-hmm. but I better be aware of why I'm doing it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. Why?
And beauty in this culture.
Right.
Because beauty in another culture is going to be very different.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like nowadays, the women with the eyelashes, the eyelash implants, which are totally fine. In our culture, it's become a new thing. Like that is determining, we see that as beauty.
Right.
In this particular culture.
In this particular time.
But it's so, in this particular time, it's so interesting. If we go to a different place, it might be very opposite. Like, whoa, that's problematic.
Right.
You know, she won't be able to do this with the eyelashes like that. I don't know what it is, but to me, it's just so fascinating how we learn it and then we copy it. Mm-hmm. And it becomes ingrained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it changes.
And it changes.
Which I find fascinating too, that we're willing to go with the change.
Yeah. I guess just to be totally honest just about myself, is I find it hard to kind of accept that sometimes I feel like my self-love is conditional.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
And so that's kind of my struggle with this self-love, self-improvement thing.
I don't think it's self-love. I see self-acceptance, self-improvement. I think self-love is a piece of it, but that's another whole big piece for self-actualization, I think. Because if we go to the self-acceptance and judgment, if I go to self-love, I'm like, well, I can't do that. But I can look at it rationally and be like, now, is this right? You know, is this serving you the best it can? Self-love is such a huge topic. Well,
that's what I mean. And that's why I want to bring it in, because I don't want my self-love to be based on conditions.
Mm-hmm.
If the conditions aren't right, if the conditions aren't there,
mm-hmm.
if this vacation isn't going the way that you wanted it to go, like, are you still in love with your life in that moment? Like if I lose an arm, am I still going to think my body is perfect? Am I still going to think that I'm exactly the way that I'm supposed to be? Am mm-hmm. I still going to feel like, you know, that I'm beautiful, that I'm, you know, all of these things. And so it's like staying. And I think that's why, going back to what that woman wrote, is it's like remembering that we are a spirit, a spiritual being having a human experience, which is what I believe. And it's that never changes. It's like what's underneath all of this human stuff, all of these conditional things in our exterior world that are different than our spirit. And so for me, it's just such, it's like almost like such a good spiritual practice for me when I get super, bummed out by things that are not spirit. So when I, you know, if I have like acne or whatever, and it's like making me feel unattractive, or it's distracting me from enjoying the moment, or I'm out, you know, and I keep touching it and it's like bumming me out. It's like, that is not spirit. That's a human thing. That's me in this human body with hormones and whatever. But it's like when I can reconnect with myself, my self, my soul self, then it's like, oh, there's so much. It's so much bigger than all this human shit that we get so worked up about.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's how I can tie it back into that self-love, which is a different conversation than the acceptance and power and improvement and actualization. I think that's a great process when you start going down that road, but like bring it into the spiritual realm. I think that it's like, we have to remember that we are more than just this body. We're more than just this personality. We're more than this DNA, this like member of this family, you know, it's mm-hmm. like we're so much bigger than all of our problems.
Yeah. For me, it's hard to go to the self-love part right away because it's that has such a heavy connotation for me.
Your glasses.
My glasses are so I have to do it in a sort of more baby step way.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, so what did I do? Or how am I feeling? What does that mean? Where did it come from?
Yeah.
And then I can work on, does it serve me as the higher being, as who I want to be in this life?
Yeah.
And then I can say yes or no. And if it's no, then I work on self-improvement. Like, what can I do to make that better?
Yeah.
And then moving into that self-actualization piece of like fulfillment of one's talents and potentials in this life.
Right.
So then I feel like I'm serving my better person. Now, I have an argument with myself a lot about that, because sometimes I'm like, I don't want to serve my better person.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it.
And I don't want to just be lazy right now.
I want to be lazy. I want to look at my phone for an hour.
Right.
And then I'm like, then I beat myself up afterwards, which is like, well, that either decide that you're going to be, fight it and go with it.
Yes.
But don't beat yourself up about it afterwards because you said that's what you didn't want to do. You know, you didn't want to pursue the higher good.
Yes. And but then that's the acceptance. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It's like, okay, so that's where you're at. You want to wallow in that for a while? Go ahead and wallow in that.
But enjoy it then.
Yeah, enjoy it then.
And freaking enjoy it.
Don't beat yourself up about it because you just said you wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Then enjoy it.
Right. Yeah. So it's just like,
that's don't punish yourself.
Don't punish yourself. And what does that get you in the long run?
Yeah.
And again, it takes you, what you're saying, it takes you that many steps back from self-love, from the spiritual self, from the higher self. It's like this, but of course, you know, we're just human beings and we're trying to make sense of this time we have on this earth.
We are. And you and I have talked about this many times, but I think that's what's so great about you and I working together, because I often approach things from the spiritual perspective and you approach it from the human and also the mental, like, you know, well, evolution has given us this or evolution has taught us this, you
right,
know?
Right.
And so I think it's always interesting for us to have those two different like,
viewpoints
and like ways that we access the work that we want to be doing.
Right. You exactly. Know? Exactly.
So I definitely appreciate that because I feel like, we are these complex beings and we are humans. We're humans.
We're humans, yeah.
We're here. We're having this experience.
Sometimes I wish I wasn't, you know, or I'll do certain things. I'm like, maybe I'm not human now. And I'm like, well, I woke up. I'm still human.
What do you wish you were?
A bird.
Oh.
A lot of times.
But isn't that part of your family's like?
Amakua.
What does that mean?
The spirit animal.
Is it Amakua?
Amakua. So it's sort of grounded in that. That was your ancestor, which it probably was. We're all from, you know, we're all related. But it's like this was, some people are more like reptiles or turtles or, and ours is the bird.
Yeah.
It's particularly the birds over the ocean, the storm birds.
You always talk to them. She always talks to them. She does this whistle thing and they all come around her.
Oh my God, I love the birds.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think this is just good. This is... Like, I think that this system works, like I said, really well for like behavioral things. And that is so much of the cause of our suffering. It's like
it's what
a choice.
I did.
It's a choice how you acted.
And I loved how you said today in one about perspective.
Yes.
Because I had the perspective of negativity. Like my perspective was like, instead of, you know, I could have been at the lake and my perspective could have been how wonderful I'm at the lake with my husband and my son was spending the night at a friend's house.
Yeah.
So it was like, here you are, just you and your husband.
Yeah.
Which, this time, I could have had that perspective.
And it could have been an adventure. That,
yes.
You know, like, it could have been an adventure and you guys could have...
We got there late and that's okay.
Yeah,
we're just
late.
Rushing
well,
up
we don't
there.
Need a shower. Like,
right. Exactly. But my perspective was of the negative kind. So everything was a notch in the belt of
and
negativity.
I think it's okay that we need to improve and work on things. Like, we want to grow. We want to evolve. And so if you ask the question, like, is this serving my greater good? And the answer is no. Well, don't get all worked up about it that you're, you know, that you have a behavior or a propensity to act this way. Just know that you do and then say, okay, but it doesn't have to be like this.
Right. Yeah.
I don't have to be like this.
I'm deciding to be
this
like
this. This is a choice.
This is a choice to be like
this.
This is a
choice because I ultimately can't control all of the outside world. You can't control that the water heater
I'm not
was
a magician.
Broken, but you can control
sometimes
your reaction.
I think
to
I am,
it.
But I'm not. I'm not a magician. I couldn't fix it.
Right.
I'm not gifted at like what's the telekinesis. I went in there and I'm like, if I touch it enough,
then you get electrocuted.
And that's when I got electrocuted. There you go.
Yeah.
So you got to be, you know, it's just, I love that matter of perspective. And then that journey of self-acceptance, self-improvement, if you want, and then self-actualization.
But I do think the self-love is kind of like, you do have to realize that you're worth it. You're worth the work.
Yes, you do. That's a very good point. The underlying piece is you're worth it. You're worth the work to put into that whole process.
And I think when we go back to babies, you see every single human being comes to this earth perfectly.
Oh, perfectly.
So
no
you
question.
That doesn't, it's that we don't become less perfect. We just have things added on top of us, not taken away. We don't lose that perfectness, that divine, that God quality. What happens is we have all these human experiences that get covered up. So we have to stay underneath with this understanding that we are still that perfectness.
Yes. And I was just thinking about self-love. The other thing about self-love is I can't do it for myself sometimes, but I can do it for an other. Mm-hmm. So I see it as the greater good for the community in a way that's like, well, if it's not for me, then for my husband. Mm-hmm. That I owe it to him to be like, you know, to model almost like this is a better way to be in the world. Because somehow I modeled all the negativity and then he picked it up and was doing it. And I was like, oh no,
well, that's why
look what I've done.
Yeah. And you know, like at the end of ULA 1, I always say like, thank you for being here. And I always say like, if you have extra to give.
There's ants in here.
If you have like extra, so whatever good vibes and good energy and like shift of perspectives or, you know, whatever goodness is happening in this space, like then that's where you share it from, because it does. We know that our energy and our emotions get transferred very easily onto other people around us. So if we can find a place, like for me, it really
kind of electricity.
That's right. Like you're like, I don't know what this is. You can't see it, but it works.
Very powerful.
It totally works. And for me, I have to be really careful in my marriage. It's tone of voice.
Oh,
tone of voice is the one thing that we both like. I have to be very conscientious about the tone of my voice. I can deliver the same message, but it's how I say it, because then it just sparks a fire. And if I do a tone, then he gets a tone back.
And vice versa.
Like it's all for us about the tone of mm-hmm. what we're saying. Mm-hmm. And so just being really conscientious of, like my energy is going to affect those around me. So when I do my personal work, it helps other people. It helps maintain harmony within my family. It helps me be a better friend. It helps me, whatever it does, this whole self-improvement thing. It's not selfish.
No.
When it's not just about getting pedicures and shopping and buying stuff and checking out of reality, when you're actually digging in there and doing this work of self-love, self-awareness. And then when you can take that and bring that out into your life, it changes things. It does.
Yes. I totally agree. And for me, it's like, I want this place to be a better place.
Exactly.
For future generations.
So what are you going to do about it? You can't control everything out there, but what you can do is work on yourself.
Yes, I know I can work on myself.
And you can commit to a cause. You can ask yourself, is this serving the greater purpose?
Yes, exactly. And I think we owe it to the future generations.
Oh my God. We owe them everything.
Beautiful planet that we're so lucky to have.
We owe them everything.
We owe them everything. So it's like, oh my gosh, B, you know, because I sometimes if it's just my perspective, I'm like, I don't give a shit about me. Like, I don't care.
Yes.
Like, whatever. You know, and I get like that too. I'll be like, I can be a bitch anyway. I don't care. Like, so what if nobody likes me? I don't care. But then if I take myself out of that perspective of that kind of self-anger and I go, hey, how is this affecting Kaylee when I'm talking to her? Mm-hmm. How is this affecting Julie? How is this affecting my kids? How does it affect the community around mm-hmm. me? And then it's like, you wake up.
It's not about
because
you.
If it's not about, if you're not going to do it for you, that's okay.
Yeah.
But you owe it to the future.
Yes.
I totally believe that.
Yes.
And that is what motivates me sometimes to get out of that, like that constant negative conversation.
For sure.
And change perspective.
For sure.
Please be, you know.
Yeah.
You don't need to argue about this. You don't need to make this right. Yes. You don't need to focus on the negative in that. How is that helping anybody in this conversation?
Yeah.
In no way.
Yeah.
In fact, they're not even hearing you because your negativity and bossiness is too loud.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Which happens to me sometimes when I'm trying to make a point and then everyone starts to turn off. And I realize like, uh-oh, this is not inclusive.
We just think, she's grumpy now. And now she's grumpy.
We need to get her some food or something. Feed that woman.
Who has the M&M? It's good stuff, though.
It's really good stuff. Yeah. I read this in Positive Psychology Program. It's a website. It said, did I live in alignment with my values and principles today? Did I show up as the person I want to be?
Those are good questions.
I was like, oh.
And I think where we have to give ourselves the self-love and self-forgiveness is if the answer is no, you hopefully, God willing, get tomorrow.
You hopefully, God willing, you get tomorrow. You know? Exactly.
And then just keep trying.
That's not the open door to berate yourself.
It's not.
It's not the open door to say, yeah, like, okay, so what
I'm
can we
try
do about
this tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also part of the like self-care comes in where it's like, okay, maybe I know that I have a much easier time getting everyone out of the house on time without screaming, without conflict, if I can have 10 minutes to myself in the morning. Well, then guess what? You have a choice and you set that alarm a little bit early and you wake up and you do the things for your own self so that you can be a better partner, friend, wife, husband, father, mother, whatever, whoever you are, who, if you want to be like the best version of yourself, sometimes it requires doing a little bit of self-care so that you can then be that person. So yes, you have tomorrow, but you are going to have to do things a little bit differently than you did today.
Yes. You have to have self-acceptance. What didn't work today?
Yeah.
What do you want to do about it? Self-improvement. Then step into
then
it.
Do it.
Can do it. And it's an ongoing process.
Yes.
Don't beat yourself up about it.
Yeah.
It's just ongoing.
It's ongoing.
You're modeling for your kids and future generations. Mm-hmm. So keep it up.
Keep it up.
Keep it up.
Whew.
Wow.
All right. I got some work to do.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
Love you. Bye-bye.